Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. I commonly call this the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray. Teach us to pray like you pray. Something about your prayer is powerful. We want to pray like that. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to speak to you today about the glory of God for his glory. And you may be seated. Our youth pastor, Brother Joel, mentioned earlier that the goal of this month is to help you become more productive at work. Now, God created work. Before there was sin, there was work. So work is not a sin. God gave Adam the care of the Garden of Eden and entered into a partnership with the man that he placed there. God created people with the capacity to work and to be productive. And work is not a sin. And the Bible teaches pretty plainly that if you can work and don't work, that you should go hungry so you will work. But if a man would not work, he should not eat. Hunger is a pretty powerful motivator for getting out and getting a job. If you cannot work, then our culture, our church, our society is designed to help those who cannot work. Work consumes a large percentage of our time and energy in our career and working years. So we say if you're going to work, work well. Be successful on your job. But today I want to go a little deeper or maybe a higher level. I don't want to get down into the details that Brother Jury so ably spoke about this past Wednesday, or will again address this coming Wednesday, our split sessions. And then the last Wednesday of the month, Brother Brad Fain will talk about conflict resolution at work. Make sure you're there. We're trying to find somebody who has a lot of conflict at work to address our congregation on that night with Brother Brad. But anyway, I want to talk to you about a little higher level on that, about your purpose in life. When we were kids, we started thinking about what we wanted to do when we grew up. For some of us, you little boys, you know, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman when I grow up. We ask about our purpose in life. And the process that takes place in the secular society is what some people call the process of self-discovery. Now, that begins with yourself, and it is self-directed. And I believe that the process of self-discovery leads to despair, not discovery. Because self-centered questions miss the mark. Questions that we ask ourselves like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals and ambitions? What dreams do I have of my life? What is the purpose of my life? When it begins with me, it ends in despair. Bertrand Russell was a professed atheist, and he once said, an atheist said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Here's something that most of us believe, but we really need to embrace today, maybe in a brand new way, that man did not create God, but God created man. We do not create God to give purpose to life, but God created us for a purpose. You were born on purpose and for a purpose. Someone may have considered you an accident, but God did not consider you an accident. You were born on purpose. So when you start with a wrong premise, which is me, myself, and I, will always lead to a wrong conclusion about life. If you were to ever really embrace and know your purpose, it has to begin with God. You were made by God and for God. Amen? And until you understand that, life will always be futile. You'll be like the writings of Ecclesiastes, when even the wisest human that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ said all is vanity and vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon said that it really doesn't amount to anything absent of God. And only when you start with God does life take on meaning and purpose. Your significance and your destiny are tied to the God who created you. And that is why self-help and self-discovery is futile. It is self-centered, and it doesn't assume a higher purpose and a higher power in your life. When it's focused on yourself, it only focuses on pleasing yourself. And Jesus taught that if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. And if you try to save your life, if you try to make something of your life in your own ability, that you will always lose your life. Your life will lose its meaning, its purpose, and its value. Only when you find the purpose of life outside of yourself and in your relationship with God does life really take on purpose and meaning. That's why I said earlier that God created work, and work is not a sin. When you find your vocational purpose inside God's plan, then work takes on tremendous meaning and it gives purpose to your life. Now, it's easy to understand how people get this so messed up. Because God is good, and God's goodness is focused on us. He's a God who blesses us, and we like blessings and goodness, and too often our lives are like a giant funnel, funneling everything that God has provided toward ourselves, and it becomes almost an end in itself. Now, the Bible said that God is a good God. Psalm 86, the Lord is good. Psalm 100, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 33, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. James said that every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights. God is a giving God, and he gives good gifts, and he gives good things into our lives. And we like God's gifts, and we enjoy the goodness of God. And guess what? God is even good to people who don't even serve him. In Acts 14, the Bible said that even when these nations walked in their own ways, that God did not leave himself without a witness of his existence. But he gave them rain. He did them good. They had fruitful seasons. He filled their hearts with food and gladness. He is a good God, and he's good, not some of the time, but he's good all the time. Amen. God even makes sense out of the chaos of our lives. For he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God. And we're blessed because God is good all the time. But can I jog you a little bit today? Give you somewhat of a wake-up call? That God does good for you, but not for your glory, but for his glory. He never intended for us to be consumers of his goodness, but he intended us to be vessels of grace back to him, to remember that everything comes from the gracious hand of God. It is for our good, but it is for his glory. Amen. You were made to bring glory to God in your life, in your work, in everything that you do. We're to give glory to God in every breath we breathe of our lives. And a modern version of Christianity is really not like that. Modern version of Christianity is that God is like a commodity. We're focused on the blessings of God, you know? He is able to supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so we ask, and he told us to ask, and we just turn God into a spiritual vending machine to provide all of our needs, to get us what we want. And we create in our own minds a God that serves us instead of us serving God. We hop up on the throne of our own lives, albeit a very small throne. And we see God as this means of blessing, success, happiness, and ultimately heaven. You say, well, you know, you're indicting me and I'm not even guilty. Well, let me ask you about your prayers this past week. First of all, did you pray? If you didn't, then you're not bringing glory to God, right? And when you prayed, what did you ask God for? What was the nature of your prayers to God? If it was like put in a prayer, take out a miracle, you know, put a prayer in the vending machine and get out an answer. If your prayers were like, give me God, give me God, give me God, help me God, strengthen me God, do this for me God, give me the raise God, I need that promotion God, provide for me God, help me get to the end of the week God, then that's the kind of God you serve. But that's a God of your own imagination. That's not the real God. If your prayers went like this, like the Lord's Prayer, not my will. Lord, I pray that your kingdom would come. That's the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. I pray that your will would be done. If you pray like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, you know I would like this, but not my will, but your will be done. That's a God-honoring prayer. Thinned out a little bit there. Amen? If your prayers were kind of like, Lord, let my kingdom come. No, that was not a kingdom prayer. But if your prayer said, Lord, let my kingdom go so your kingdom can come, that's a prayer that glorifies God. If your prayer is thine is the kingdom, if your prayer is thine is the power, if your prayer is thine is the glory, that is a prayer that focuses on the glory of God and allows him to be the Lord of your life. Now, I'm not really here to bash you today, but I am here to tear my kingdom down. I'm here to tear your kingdom down to establish the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, there is one throne, and it is inhabited by Almighty God himself. And guess what? He's not sharing the chair with you. Sometimes we sing it. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you while I'm standing here in church. And I walk out the doors, all about me. That's why you think you're the smartest person in town. You've got more biblical insight than anybody else in the church, and you're deluded all the while. You see, what's happened is we've dethroned God, and we've enthroned ourselves. I'm not making this up. Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, how pagan people, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They did not recognize God as the source of blessing. They thought it was because they were smart or talented are lucky, or they worked hard, and they take all the credit themselves. When they knew God as a creator, they did not glorify him as God. They profess themselves to be wise. And when you do, watch out, because you'll become a fool. That's what Romans 1:22 says. And then this. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God like unto an image made like to corruptible man, four-footed beasts and creeping things. They had God. They knew God as the glorious creator, but did not honor him, did not thank him, were not thankful. And instead of worshiping God, they created an idol and worshiped what they had created instead of the one who created them. Ultimately, what humans do is dethrone God and enthrone themselves. It may be your idol, may be a carved image, or it may be your job, or it may be sexual promiscuity, or it may be some rock star or some sports star. No matter what you worship, ultimately, when you take him off the throne of your life, you no longer glorify God, but you glorify yourself. They changed the glory of God into the glory of man. And then the Bible says that they changed the truth of God into a lie. So the first thing is they dethroned God, enthroned themselves, and then they took what God had revealed as truth and they replaced it with a lie. You can watch it happen every time that when Jesus Christ is off the throne of your life and you have taken his place, you've usurped his authority, that you become a law unto yourself and the truth is changed into a lie, and you will tell yourself whatever it takes to justify your behavior and to live your life the way you want to do. But I have come here today to dethrone myself and to dethrone our Western mindset and return Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to say that my life is lived for your glory alone. Why don't you applaud him right now if you get that? So my mission today, hallelujah, there's an old song that comes from the book of Revelation. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem, that crown, and crown him Lord of all. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ultimately, in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, to the glory of God the Father. And if you want your life to make sense, you need to put him back on the throne of your life. So my mission today is to enthrone his majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to do that, though, is to dethrone us. See, God is not a man. See, the human mindset is, who does God think he is to take all this glory to himself? What kind of an egomaniac would say all the glory is mine? Well, God is not a man that he should lie. And God will never answer to you. You will answer to God. He's not on a power trip. He already has all power. He's not insecure. He's comfortably in control. He turns the king's heart like the river down the water course. He is ultimately fulfilling his will in time as he will in eternity. He's just wanting to give us an opportunity to get on the same page with him. That's why we pray, Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Both now and forever. That's why I say, let your kingdom come. That's the rule of God. Let your will be done. That's his way, not my way. I want your kingdom to be in earth like it is in heaven in its perfect sense in my life. So see, God doesn't, we think we come to church and if we feel good or we like the song, it's our style. Some of you, if it's not black gospel, you can't even get your praise on at all. Some of you are waiting for a southern gospel song before you really worship God. And some of you, if it's not contemporary, if it's black gospel and not contemporary, you don't connect. That's because you're worshiping yourself and your style and not Jesus. Hey, the Bible says, to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. And if you've come to glorify Jesus, it's not about you or your style or what's going on. If the sermon tickled your fancy, it's about Jesus. So listen, he doesn't need to hear you say that he is great. He knows he's great. What you need to know, he's great. He needs to hear it for your sake, not for his sake. In time and in eternity, you cannot lessen God. Let God be true and every man a liar. He is God alone, and it's up to us to glorify him in our body and our spirit, which are God's. You see, what I'm really trying to do today is flip the focus back to God. Because what we've done is so much what, like the pagans in Romans 1 did. They changed the glory of God into the glory of a man. And then they changed the truth into a lie. You watch people walk away from truth step by step, truth by truth. I will guarantee you they have dethroned Jesus Christ and they have enthroned themselves as the final authority on everything. Lead us not into temptation, right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God already knows what we need to learn. Is that the reason we exist is for his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. What is the glory of God? It's the essence of his nature. It's the weight of his importance. It's the demonstration of his power. It's the atmosphere of his presence that we feel in here today. God's glory is probably best expressed here and there in Scripture as a powerful light that is brilliant in its nature, like the glory of God that appeared in the face of Moses in the Old Testament and in the face of Jesus Christ on the mountain of transfiguration. The heavens declare the glory of God. So the next time you walk out on a beautiful starlit night and you stare up into what God created, just understand that God is greater than what you can see with the naked eye and everything that you cannot see with the most powerful telescope invented by man. God is greater than all of that. The glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said, referring to the glory of God, is God himself, that I will not give my glory to another. He's not sharing the chair of his throne. There was a pagan king named Nebuchadnezzar. He's a man the Bible talks about Nebuchadnezzar's image, the image he saw. Nebuchadnezzar is depicted in that image as a head of gold, a king of kings, a worldwide ruler. He's an amazing man, created the hanging gardens of Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar, pagan king that he was, the Jews are there for 70 years of bondage and they're around him. He is a very powerful person. And I've learned that it doesn't take very much for us, you know, our egos get the best of us and go to our head. to be a little 13-year-old boy pumping up his bicep, and all of a sudden he sees himself as Mr. America. It could be some little girl who turns the head of a boy and she thinks she's Miss Universe just like that. I mean, we are very prone to vanity and egotism. It doesn't take much, ladies and gentlemen. Usually that's because we needed the month of September about personal wholeness so that we recognize that we don't need all of that to prop us up. Our value is in the price that Jesus paid for us, after all. Nebuchadnezzar, he's a big shot. He's a big dude. He is the monarch of the world. So he's kind of walking around. He's looking at everything he built. Daniel 4:30, he says, is not this great Babylon? Listen to these words carefully. That I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. Are those scary words? Now, a year before, God had told him, if you don't get over yourself, and I'm paraphrasing, if you don't get over yourself, Nebuchadnezzar, bad days are coming to you. But Daniel 4 is when it happened. The Bible said that while those words were coming out of his mouth, instantly a voice from heaven came down to him and said, this, the kingdom, has departed from you. Now, there was no foreign army. Nobody assassinated him. God alone caused him to lose his mind. He went crazy for 7 years. He ate grass like an animal. He slept outdoors under the dew and the rain and the elements. He went from being the biggest deal in town to being a beast that was rejected by everybody in his kingdom. The Lord said, you know how long this is going to take, Nebuchadnezzar? I know the Bible says till 7 times Passover was a completion of years for him. He said, but until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and he gives it to whomever he chooses, whenever you'll get over being too big for your britches, whenever you get over yourself, whenever you come off your ego trip, I will restore what you've lost. But until you give me the glory as God, I will not share my glory with you, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of those days, he lifted his eyes to heaven. His understanding returned to him. And by the way, the little key phrase, I think, is he lifted his eyes to heaven. He looked back up to God, the source of all things. And he blessed the Most High God and honored him who lives forever. And Nebuchadnezzar, pagan king that he was, says, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does whatever he wants in the army of heaven and in the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stop his hand and ask God, what do you think you're doing? I think it's time that every one of us get a Nebuchadnezzar revelation to say that you're everything, and everything I am is because of your grace and your goodness in my life, and I spend my life to bring you glory. In the New Testament, there's a guy named Herod. He's a king. And he's full of pride and egotism like most powerful people who do not submit their lives to God. And Herod was angry at the people of Tyre and Sidon. So they welcomed him there in a lot of pomp and circumstance. And he got all dressed up, history says, in a brilliant suit of metal that glimmered and shimmered in the sunlight. Herod gave an oration, a speech. Now, the speech really might have been eloquent, or it might have been like, see, spot, run. I don't really know. But it didn't matter, because the people of Tyre and Sidon wanted to kind of make sure that King Herod didn't take it out on them, his anger. He was very angry with them. So after he finished his speech, I don't know everything that happened, but I would imagine there was a standing ovation. They're kind of really getting all carried away with whatever speech it was. And then they said these words. It is a voice of a God and not a man. We don't know from the words of the Bible what went through Herod's mind, because he didn't say it, but he must have shown it. Because as soon as they ascribed the voice of God to the voice of a man, the Bible says the angel of the Lord struck him. And here's the reason. Because he did not give glory to God. He accepted what belongs to God alone. He was eaten with worms. It's pretty gross. And he died. Now let me just say to you, wonderful men and women, young people and children, that if God had did not decide to share his throne with Nebuchadnezzar, and if he wasn't willing to scoot over to share the seat with Herod, I have a pretty good feeling that he's not going to invite you to share his lordship. So why don't we humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God, that he could exalt us in due season? I'm not trying to be confrontational, but I want you to know that the purpose of your life is found in giving glory to God. Paul said, to tell you the truth, God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things and the things that are base to confound the things that are mighty. God takes things that are despised, like Gentiles, who most of us are. He takes people that are looked down on to bring to nothing the things that think they're something. And he gives a reason for that, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So the next time you do good on a test, the next time you get a raise or a promotion, I don't want you to look in the mirror and say, look at me and look at what I've done. But you need to look up to God, the source of every good and perfect gift, and say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. So how can you bring him glory? Give him credit for everything you achieve or accomplish. Acknowledge him in every area of your life. Embrace the values that reflect the values of the kingdom of God. Build relationships that God can bless. Spend your time and your money in your life according to his giftedness, his gifts to you, and his goodness to you. We're saying this month, but the ethics of your work ethic, and the ethics of the way you work, honesty, integrity, giving your best. Brother Jury spoke about it Wednesday night. But in whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. We do not serve an employer. We serve the Lord Christ. We do not exist for our own glory or our own success, but we exist to bring glory to God. In life and in death, we bring glory to God. For Paul said that we do not live to ourselves, we or die to ourselves. That whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Think about this story. You know, sometimes our idea of glorifying God is rising from obscurity, overcoming adversity, becoming successful and visible. Simon Peter was like that. He rose from the obscurity of a fishing business in the backwater province of Galilee. He becomes a trusted disciple of Jesus Christ. He is given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he opens the door to the kingdom of heaven on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, by preaching the inaugural message. In a single day, 3,000 people are converted and swept into the kingdom of God. He is the man that knocks on the door of Cornelius' house, and he opens the door to the kingdom of God, to the Gentile nations, which gave us access to God. Rises from obscurity, overcomes adversity. He's in the limelight. But as you read through the book of Acts, Simon Peter begins to fade from the pages of Acts. Now Paul becomes the main character. He's there for a while, but then something happens to him. It was not an accident. Was prophesied by Jesus. Jesus said to him, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go and did whatever you wanted to do. But when you're old, they're going to take you to a place you'd rather not go. They're going to stretch your arms out wide, and they're going to take your life. Jesus, in John 21, prophesied about the martyrdom of Simon Peter, that great pioneer of the apostolic church. You may think it was the worst moment of his life, but the Bible records that prophecy like this. This spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. That doesn't sound like something that would bring God glory. Because I should only bring God glory when I'm up and coming, I'm in the limelight, and I'm successful. But whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And in life and in death, we are to bring God glory. And then life has meaning. And then death has meaning. Would you bow your heads right now, please? Would you begin right now to pray sincerely what you know of the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. Would you lift your voice and just talk to Jesus Christ right now as we close this time together? In Jesus' name, right now, Lord, I pray. I said it's okay to pray out loud. In fact, that would be good right now to just pray right on out loud. Right now, it'd be good to be praying things like, Lord, help me get off the throne of my life. Forgive me, Lord, for taking lordship that belongs to you. I ask you, Jesus, to wash me from my sins and forgive me of my self-will. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my vanity and my pride. Lord, I pray, God, that you would let your kingdom come and your will be done. For Lord, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. That's it. Go ahead and keep praying like that today. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Go ahead and lift your voice to the Lord. If you want to begin to worship Him, you can do that. I'm encouraging you right now to place Him on the throne of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me right now, please? And please do not leave if you can just wait a moment. Would you stand right now? I'm inviting you to come and pray. And everyone who's able, physically able, if you would acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'm inviting you to flip the focus of your life off yourself and on the glory of God. And would your prayer be, Lord, in everything I do and everything I say, Lord, would you let me bring glory to God?